Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Well, I've got such a word on my heart today, but before we get into it, I just really wanted to encourage us around expansion. You know, we have been in 3 weeks before this Sunday around this whole topic of expansion and God moving our hearts to give to His kingdom and give to His cause. And it's an incredible opportunity and an honor for each of us to partner with God's house for Sim Street, the new building that we are stepping into, with all our community initiatives, with our kingdom reach. And if you haven't yet got an expansion magazine that goes into the details of what we're giving to, really encourage you to get that expansion magazine and to dive into the details. Because really, when God brings us to a church, He brings us to a vision to be a part of. Not just to fill a seat on a Sunday service, but to partner with the vision. And expansion is all about the vision that God has entrusted to us as a church to reach the city of Melbourne through Sim Street, what He's doing with our next building, through our community initiatives. So I really want to stir us as a church. If we haven't partnered yet with expansion, I would really encourage us. This is where God has called us. So let's partner with the vision. Let's partner with what God is doing. And every time when it comes to expansion, it's a challenge. I know for me personally, because you were saying, okay, I'm putting aside my temporary wants and what I want to do with my money, and instead I'm investing it where God is asking me to invest it. I'm saying, you know what? I'm not giving to the temporary. I'm giving to what is eternal. And I've done it since I've been a little girl. I was raised in a Christian home, raised in the church. I've constantly given to God's house. And I look back now going, all those times I've invested into God's house, I can look back knowing I've built for the generations to come. I've built for eternity. That handbag that I saved up for so long and invested in, it's now in the dump somewhere. But what I invest into the church for eternity, it's forever. It's about people. It's lives being invested into. So I want to encourage us, if we have not yet partnered, I want us to grab one of the envelopes and the forms that are in the seat pocket in front of us, and let's just have a moment right now seeking God and asking Him, hey God, what is it that You want me to partner with? Because we've got the opportunity to give a 12-month pledge or a one-off offering as well. So the 12-month pledge is over the next 12 months, what we're believing to come in. Obviously, we brought in the offering last Sunday, but this Sunday, we want that continuation. We want to give people the opportunity still. And then we're believing for $1.8 million to come in. That's what we need to come in to keep doing what God has entrusted to us. So we've got a bit of a giving table as well, just breaking down an indication of what it is where God can lead us in to give to His house. And so just to take a moment, obviously you don't have to do what's there, but it's just an indication of what we're believing for and how God can move in our hearts. So why don't we just take a moment, just to pray and ask God, what is it that You want me to give? The 407 giving units, that's a family or an individual saying, hey, this is my offering. This is what I'm giving for eternity, for the lives of people and to His house. So God, we just come before You right now. And we just pray, God, that You would stir our heart for what stirs Your heart. God, that our priority would be Your priority. God, I pray align us to how You want us to be aligned, to give to Your what matters so close to Your heart. God, I pray change us. God, that we would set aside maybe our wants and our things that we want to do, we want to build to what matters to You. So God, I just pray, God, stir us. God, I pray that this would be a holy moment, that as we prepare to give to Your house, to give to Your cause, that You would bless it, Lord, that You would cause us to keep having seed to give to Your harvest. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Awesome. Thank you. You can fill that out, put it into the Dropbox right there as you leave, or give it to the information desk as well, which would be awesome. But I have got such a word in my heart. Thank you, team. You are phenomenal. You are amazing. We're going to get into it today. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke 8, verse 40 to 55. And it's an incredible story about who our amazing God is, who our Jesus is. And it starts when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they'd been expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a daughter of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd are pressing on you, crowding against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Man, the difference between just bumping Jesus and touching him, desperate for him to bring change in our world. Then the woman, seeing that she could get no unnoticed, she came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she'd touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus had been speaking, someone came up from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and he said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this though, Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone else in with him except Peter, John, and James and the child's mother and father. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. What a profound moment that would have been. What an epic moment to be a part of. Jairus, this man who was desperate for the healing of his daughter, a daughter of about 12 years old, about the age of our daughter, and he was desperate for his daughter to have a miracle. And he hears that Jesus is coming, and so he goes to him in desperation, cries out to Jesus, and Jesus agrees to go with him to heal his daughter. But then on the way, this other miracle happens. Don't you love it how Jesus just does miracles on the way? And this woman in her desperation reaches out to Jesus just to touch the edge of his garment because she knows that power flows from him as the Messiah. And immediately she is healed in that moment, and he stops, and it's not enough for Jesus just to have the miracle happen. He stops and he acknowledges her and he calls her daughter. And then in the middle of this, Jairus hears the news that his daughter has passed away. The most heartbreaking news that any parent could ever possibly hear. And in that moment, Jesus looks at him and he says, "Jairus, do not be afraid. Just believe. Your daughter will be healed." And then Jesus goes on and does a miracle of all miracles and raises her from the dead. You know, when I've been studying that this week and I've felt God speak to me about bringing this message this week, that statement, "Do not be afraid, just believe," jumped out so profoundly, because I believe that as a church, individuals here, God is taking us to a new space where he's asking us to step out in faith. To step out in faith and not settle in fear. Jairus had this moment where he had to choose to step into faith rather than settle in fear. See, fear settles on us. Fear is something that is always there trying to have its way in our lives, trying to dominate, trying to have power in our lives. But faith is something we need to activate. Faith is something we need to step into. See, in the world that we live in today, fear is everywhere. And I know for me, there's been so many moments where I have had to choose not to settle in fear, but to step into faith as well. So many moments for myself where I've had that Jairus moment. I remember one of the first significant times I had was the first time I ever preached. And I was just a youth leader at the time, about 20 years old, and the youth pastors had asked me to speak to about 50 teenagers. And I was petrified. I was like, how do you speak to these kids? Like, how am I going to relate to them? What do you say? I was absolutely petrified, and it came time to speak, and I remember being on the front row, and Craig was introducing me. And I remember literally everything going through my head was run. What are you doing here? How did you get here? Run now before it all crumbles. Like, why did you say yes to this? And I remember having to grip the edge of my seat not to run. And I had to make this deliberate choice not to settle in fear, but to step into faith. And every time, to be honest, I get up to speak, it's still the same. That I wouldn't settle in fear, but I'd step into faith. When God called us to Melbourne, oh, that was a big one. When we felt God speaking to him about it, and I remember we just bought our first home. And I remember walking through our home that we just bought, but knowing what God was calling us to. Just going for the first time, we're moving our stuff and going, we're not going to be here for long because God's wanting something more of us. And just that sense again, I cannot settle in fear. I've got to step into faith. God's got more. When it comes to expansion moments, every expansion, it's been the same. Am I going to settle in fear or am I going to step into faith? When it came to Mark Street, when we got the notice here that we had to vacate here and we didn't know where we were going to go, I still remember the night Craig told me. He said we were in lockdown, middle of lockdown, and the kids were in bed. And we're just chilling in front of the TV. And he turned to me and he said, hey, babe, I found out some information today. I don't want you to freak out. But we've been told we need to leave Mark Street. And again, that moment, gosh, I could easily let fear settle here. But I've got to choose how I want to respond. I've got to choose to step into faith instead. And, you know, it's not just the big moments that we have, but it's all the little moments. It's the day-to-day. Not choosing to settle in fear, but choosing to step into faith again. You know, all through our society today, fear is given a big voice. We hear so often about the power of fear. We hear about the power of anxiety, the power of what can happen to our minds. You know, fear is so evident today. You know, it's given such a loud voice, but to be honest, fear is never meant to have power in our life. See, an article in Psychology Today says this: fear, like all emotions, is basically information. It offers us knowledge and understanding if we choose to accept it. See, fear is an emotion that God has given us to keep us safe, to help us to survive as the human species, but it's never meant to dominate us. It's never meant to have power in our lives. Instead, we are called to live by faith. Instead, God has designed us not to settle in fear, but to step into faith in Him. It's all through His word how He's designed us to live. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, we do not live in fear, we live by faith. Not by what we see, but we live by faith in a supernatural God who loves us. I love as well Hebrews 12 verse 2. We must keep our eyes on Jesus who leads us and makes our faith complete. What good news that is. When you feel like you're struggling in fear, how good is our God that He says, I am the author of your faith. I am the one who leads you in faith. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to strive in it. No, I'm the one who gives you faith, who makes faith perfect in your life. Like the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, his student, God has not given you, Timothy, a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Some of us need to have that spoken over our lives today. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So if you have that sense of fear, it's from the enemy. It's not ours to accept. And we can speak and say, hey, what God has given me is a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind because He is good. I love Zephaniah. This has been very close to my heart this past year. Zephaniah 3 verse 15, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. Never again, daughter, never again, son, will you fear any harm. You know, psychologists say that actually all fear comes back to three main fears. The fear of death, the fear of failure, and the fear of abandonment. When Jesus came to this earth, He demolished all three of those fears. When Jesus came, he demolished fear of death. See, death to us Christians who believe, it is simply the entry point into our eternity. It's our entry point into heaven. When never again will we experience pain. Never will we know the power of sin in our lives. We're going to know complete freedom, complete peace, complete love. And Jesus came to destroy the power of death. Like scripture says, death, where is your victory? Because my victory is in Jesus Christ. Then when Jesus came, he destroyed all that sense of abandonment. He came, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will give you my Holy Spirit. We have the presence of God walking with us, being with us, our comforter, our helper. We are not on our own. That fear of failure that may be in us, we don't have to fear failure, because even if we fail, he makes us strong in our weakness, he says. That there's no shame in our mistakes and where we struggle, because God's like, hey, I'm just waiting for you to put up your hand in that moment and say you need me, and I am there. I'm your helper. I'm your strong tower. I am your strength. How amazing is our God? God's intention for us is to live free from fear. Now, when we moved to Melbourne, I did a shopping trip to IKEA, which is kind of, you know, one of the rites of passage to moving to Melbourne, IKEA shop. And I'd done a big shop. I was on my own and coming back. And I, at the junction point, I took this a wrong turn. I ended up going onto the Western Freeway. And I remember just being so lost. And I called Craig, probably very safely on the phone as it was connected to our car. And I phoned Craig in tears. And I'm like, babe, I don't know where I am. I'm stuck on this freeway. I don't know how to get off. And I remember Craig saying, there will be an exit point eventually. Just take the exit point and make your way back. Some of us feel so stuck in fear that we're like, how do I get out of this thing? How do I exit? How do I get off this point? I want to encourage you today. God has given us the exit point. He gives us a way out, and it's by living by faith, living in him, living not by sight, but by being connected to Jesus Christ, because he is the answer for every fear that we feel crippled in. And it doesn't mean that we don't battle fear, but we know what it is to overcome it. So Max Lucado says this, the presence of fear does not mean you have no faith. Fear visits everyone, but make your fear a visitor and not a resident. And that's the power he's given us to overcome it. So what I want to look at today is how we do that, how we step into faith and not settle in fear. You keen to step into that today? The first thing is it begins from a posture of humility. It begins from a posture of humility. When Jesus came back from where he was ministering and he was in an unclean area, he just delivered a man from demons who went into pigs. It was known as an unclean region. And he got back into the Jewish area and Jairus comes to him. And Jairus is a man of honor. He's a synagogue leader. That's why we know his name in the Bible. He was a man of honor, a man of decor, but he puts all of that aside. He knows that Jesus has just come back from an unclean area, but he doesn't care about any of that. He falls at the feet of Jesus in complete desperation, in complete humility, in complete, Jesus, you are the answer for my daughter. Jesus, I need you. You know, the name Jairus is one of the few names that is given to us and someone that's healed in the Bible. The name Jairus means God enlightens. And he had this enlightenment moment where, Jesus, you are everything that I need. It's not about my status. It's not about my position. It's not about all these rules, regulations. No, it's about desperation. Jesus, being at your feet, I need you to move in my life. God, I'm nothing without you. I'm desperate for this miracle. And see, that's the posture where faith starts. Humility. See, humility is knowing that we are nothing, but he is everything. that Jesus, when Jesus is with us, we can do all things because of his power moving through us, the fact that he is with us. He's everything, that posture of humility. See, we are dust. We are literally, our bodies are literally decaying. As I'm getting older, it's becoming more real. You know, when we dust our homes, our bedrooms, 20 to 50% of that dust is our skin cells. I know, we're never going to dust the same. We are literally dusting ourselves. It's again like we are decaying. God made us from dust, the Bible says. And he breathed his spirit into us. Our spirit is what's going to live for eternity. Our spirit is what is going to live forever. We are designed not to have it all together in our humanity. In our humanity, we are dust. We are nothing. But our spirit is meant to be connected to a God that created us, a God who so loves us, a God that when we're born again, when our spirit is born again, we come alive in him and we can live in faith knowing that he is in control. See, we're not meant to be in control, but we struggle not being in control, don't we? We struggle with that. See, fear is a product of trusting what I know and grappling for control, where faith is trusting what God knows and letting him have control. It's giving the reins over. We can't do it all on our own. We don't understand it all, but God, you do, and I trust you. So I remember moving to Melbourne, one of the biggest things that I struggled with was the unknown. What's this going to look like? God, I know what you're asking us, the step you're asking us to take, but I want to know the whole path. I want to know how it's going to work out for our kids. I want to know what it's going to work out for Craig and I, for the church. Like, would you give me not just a step, God, would you give me the pathway? And so often we're like that with God. We struggle, we wrestle with the unknown. But when he asks us to step out in faith, he asks us to step into the unknown. But see, the funny thing is both fear and faith reside in the unknown. Fear is us grappling with the unknown, but just doing it in our own strength. Faith is about the unknown, but trusting that a good God is walking with you. So this is a promise that God gave me in Isaiah 42, verse 15 to 16. He says this, "But I'll take the hand of those who don't know the way, who can't see where they're going. I'll be a personal guide to them, directing them through unknown country." How amazing is our God? "I'll be right there to show them what roads to take, make sure they don't fall into any ditches. These are the things I'll be doing with them, sticking with them, not leaving them for a minute." Our God is good. And he is the God that walks with us in the middle of the unknown. We don't know what's going on. We can trust him knowing that he is good. You know, one of the key ways that we do that, keep our eyes on God in the middle of the unknown, is through gratitude, is through praise, is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and who says he says he is, what he's done in our lives. Because when we do that, it doesn't give fear power. Fear comes from that place of feeling sorry for ourselves, feeling like we are limited, that we don't have power, where we need to lift our eyes and realize what we have because of who is with us. Now, recently I've been reading the Old Testament and the Israelites and their story of walking through the wilderness, and you just want to throttle them at times. They just grumbled over and over and over and over again. Even though they had seen God perform incredible miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, the plague sent to Egypt, they'd seen God move incredibly. But they still grumbled, they complained, and they missed out on the promised land because they set their eyes on what was against them rather than the God that was for them. But yet so often we do the same. How easily we forget what God has done and fix our eyes on the obstacles ahead of us. I want to encourage us as a church, let praise always be on our lips. Let that gratitude always be on our lips. No, just an encouragement. Do you know the amount of prayer requests that we receive every week? It's huge. The amount of praise reports we receive every week is minimal. It shows our inclination is to ask for prayer, But when it comes to praise, it's like, I forgot to do that. Come on, praise. It conjures up faith on the inside of us. It reminds us who our God is. It reminds us what he's done in our lives. It's so important to activate praise. The second thing is stepping into faith, not settling in fear, is trust the goodness of God. Trust the goodness of God. Jairus had to make a decision in that moment when Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid, but put your faith in me." He had to make a decision to trust Jesus, to trust in his goodness. See, we can only have faith when we know the goodness of somebody. We have faith, we put trust in people because of their character. I don't know if you played those games, but we used to play these games in high school. It would be part of your classroom work to build trust, where you would go on a high surface and you would have to fall back into the arms of people to catch you. Did anybody else play that game? They're probably outlawed now because it wasn't that safe. But there would be sometimes a doubt that would cross your mind about whether someone would catch you, and it was based on the character of that person. Oh, they probably think it's going to be funny to drop me. It was always based on character. We trust based on someone's character. We've got to know the character of our God to trust. Again, faith isn't something we just conjure up. It comes because we trust in who our God is. We trust his character. We trust his goodness. The more we have a revelation of the goodness of God, we're more able to trust. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says, "These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Because faith comes from knowing how loved we are. Knowing how much he is for us, how much he has us. Well, it was funny this week. We were traveling home from being in the offices. The kids were with me in the offices. And the kids turned to me and they're like, "Mum, you guys have favorites, hey? Like, out of us three kids, we have Zion, who's 14, Hope, who's 11, and then Ezekiel, who's 5 years old." And they're like, "Mum and Dad, you have favorites." And Hope, she's like convinced. She's like, "Mum, I am Dad's favorite for sure. For sure I'm Dad's favorite." So I did the classic, "You're all our favorites. We love you all the same," which we do, just uniquely at times. But Hope's convinced. She's like, "Dad loves me the most, Mum. Like, he always says to me, I'll kill a man for you." Like, he loves... True story. He loves me the most. And when the other... And she kept trying to convince. And I'd always be, you know, the others were around. I'd be like, "No, we love you all the same." And there was one point where the others turned her backs. And she's like, "We know, eh, Mum, who the favorite is." So convinced. And I thought, how awesome that we have a girl who is so convinced of her dad's love for her. She's like, "I'm the favorite. I know who I am." And see, we see this in the Gospel of John. We see this disciple talked about as the one that Jesus loved. And when you read that, you're like, well, Jesus, that's pretty unfair to have favorites. Until you realize that John actually wrote that book. He was writing about himself. The one Jesus loves. He saw himself as the favorite because he had such a revelation of God's love. How incredible is that? How amazing is it too that he was the one that wrote in 1 John 4 verse 18, "Perfect love casts out all fear." And then he goes on and he says, because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who is made perfect in love has no fear. And that part of the scripture has always baffled me because it makes sense, you know, when we perfectly know how loved we are, it pushes out all fear. But fear has to do with punishment. Well, God, what's that about? You know, psychologists found, and Pastor Sam a few weeks ago alluded to this, he said all fear that we have is learned. So one of the first things you learn in psychology is that fear is a conditioned response. So a kid, say for an example, a baby is not learnt, does not know fear of fire. But a baby goes to touch fire, it gets a smack on the hand by its parents, or is told off. So through that learnt response, learns fear because of punishment. often, you know what the number one fear is public speaking. And often we fear public speaking because we've seen others mocked or ridiculed. We see others have told us not to speak up at times. And so again, we're punished for speaking out. And so all fear is a conditioned response that has to do with punishment. So John, he's well ahead of his time here, and he is saying fear is to do with punishment, but we have to learn to unlearn fear and learn God's love instead. We are made perfect, it says, in love. So not to unlearn fear is about learning God's love for us, learning how he sets us free. How profound is that? I have learned every time that I have struggled with fear that there is a new revelation of God that I need to learn. There's a new revelation of God's character that I need to learn about. So, for example, I'm just going to put these up to hopefully help us today, but fear of failure. If we really fear failure, I think it can reveal that we need a revelation of God's grace. When we realize his grace, how much his strength is with us in our weakness, how much he covers our shortcomings, it sets us free. When we fear abandonment, we need a revelation of God's faithfulness, how he is the God who never leaves us nor forsakes us, how his mercy is new every single day. When we fear helplessness, we need a revelation of how God is our helper. Our Holy Spirit is our helper. And that word helper, it means defender, like a lawyer in the courtroom. That our God is working on our behalf in every opportunity that he can. Fear of mistakes catching up on us. We need a revelation of the truth that we are his new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He redeems our life from the pit, crowns us with love and compassion. If we have a fear of not belonging versus the truth that we need the truth that we are chosen, that we are chosen by him to be saved, that he protects us and redeems us. If we fear being overwhelmed and burnt out, we need to have a revelation that he is our strength. He is our strong fortress. He is the one that will never let us drown. That when we feel like we're between a rock and a hard place, he says, I will be with you. He says, you will walk through fire and you will not be burnt. We need a revelation of God's goodness and how much he is for us. And you know, this doesn't come just through quoting a Bible verse every now and then. It comes through the rewiring of our brain, and that takes consistency. It takes being in the presence of God. It takes acknowledging when we have fears, where is this coming from? And where do I need to grow in my understanding of God? It takes time. And that's the power of meditating in the Word of God. Every day, having a verse that we've got, and we're combating fear with God's Word. There is such power in declaring the Word of God. There is such power in it. In declaring the goodness and the wonder of our God, because when we declare, the Hebrews says the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates soul and spirit. So when we declare the word of God, we are speaking over our feelings the word of God. We are speaking out, bringing our feelings in submission to God's truth. And there is incredible power in that. And over the last 6 weeks, we have been praying for this beautiful little boy, JJ, in our church. He is this beautiful little 19-month-old, and his parents, Julian and Sarah, are just phenomenal parents. But about 6 or 7 weeks ago, he had a heart attack one night, a major heart attack, and for 2 hours, he had CPR. 2 hours as a little 19-month-old. And the doctors were like, look, it's not looking good at all. And the first miracle was that they got him on life support after having CPR for 2 hours, which was the first miracle. But the doctors said to the parents, look, we've got to be honest with you, he will be brain dead. There's no hope for this little one. And I remember getting the text, we were just about to go to bed that night, Craig and I, getting that text. And I remember texting Sarah and just saying straight away, I heard from God, Psalm 91, where it says that he will sustain us, that he will give us long and fruitful life. And when God gave me that verse, to be honest, I was like, oh gosh, that's a big call, God. Like to declare that verse in the middle of that diagnosis. But I felt strongly, no, there is power in my word. Let's declare the word of God. And so Sarah and Julian were incredible. They took that psalm, they had it up on beautiful little JJ's wall. And 6 weeks later, he is a walking miracle to the goodness of God. The doctors, all the nurses are calling it a miracle that they have never seen before. He has no neurological dysfunction whatsoever. He is completely walking, has no side effects whatsoever. It is an only God miracle. So I thought it would be awesome today to show a little video of JJ coming home this week.
You're home.
And that's him coming home. Straight to his toys. What a miracle. What a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. And the power of standing in the Word of God. Standing in his promises, declaring the promises of God when we are faced with fear, not settling in fear, but declaring the word of God. And the last thing is what we need to do to step into faith and not settle in fear is secure our sonship with the fact that we are his daughters. I love that the woman with the issue of blood, when she came forward and got her miracle from Jesus, what did Jesus do? He called her daughter. Now, we simply become children of God through our faith. Our faith positions us as daughters of God. Cain, if you could help bring out the shield, please, that'd be awesome. In Galatians 3, verse 7, it says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. And the Apostle Paul here, he's speaking to the children of Israel who had always been the children of God because of their race, because of their lineage. But the Apostle Paul, he's saying, no, 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 no. From now on, faith, you become children of God through faith. Not through your line, not through your race, but through faith, through believing in Jesus Christ. I love what 1 Peter 3 verse 6 says, you are her daughters. We are his children if we do what is right and do not give way to fear. When we position ourselves in faith, we position ourselves as his son, as his daughter. And when we do that, we're protected. It's amazing in Ephesians 6 when Paul talks about the armor of God. He says that faith is a shield. Faith is a shield that protects us from every arrow from the enemy. So when we position ourselves in faith in God, what it does is protecting us. See, we think, you know, shields are these flimsy little things that we see today, you know, that big. But in those times, Roman times, shields were huge. They would protect the whole body of the person. And so what Paul is saying is every time we step into faith, we're protecting ourselves. Every time we step into faith, we're positioning ourselves as sons, as daughters. The enemy can't touch us. Fear can't touch us. Every time I step into his word, every time I declare the word of God, I'm coming under his protection. Every time I worship, I'm entering into the presence of God. I'm discovering more and more what it is to be his son, to be his daughter. Every time I pray instead of worry, instead of fearing, I'm positioning myself as his son and his daughter. And when we do that, we are protected. We're protected. We're shielded by him. How amazing is that? And simply because we trust. Simply because we believe. There is nothing that breaks the power of fear. Thank you, Cain. More than owning, knowing how much God has us. Knowing how much we're his. Knowing how much he loves us. Knowing how much he's for us. Remember when Easy was born and I went through this rough time struggling with fear. I just felt crippled and paralyzed by fear. And I came to a sister's conference time and I remember flying to New Zealand and I was in a place where it was a mission just to get there. Easy was about 3 months old. And I remember walking into sister's conference and just saying to God, God, I need a miracle here. And walking into conference and a lady, an amazing woman of God, came up to me and I had a pink jacket on. And she said, I had a vision praying for this evening of a woman walking in with a pink jacket, and God wants you to know tonight that he is with you and he is never going to let you go. And for me, the power of that fear broke in that moment, because I had that revelation of how much he had me, how much he was with me. And I know that there are people here today and you need to have same revelation, those same words spoken over you, that you have a God who's for you, that you have a God who's got you, and he is never, ever, ever going to let you go. And once we have that revelation, I've had many times I've had to keep coming back to it, but once you know that you have a God that's got you, that is never going to let you go, fear just doesn't have the same power. We're able to walk in faith knowing that a good God is with us every step of the way. So why don't we just take a moment just to close our eyes and bow our head, if the team can join me. But if you're in a place where you know God's just knocking on the door of your heart and he's just saying, you know what, I want you to step into a new place of faith in me, a new place of surrendering to me. If you be honest, you just want the power of fear to be broken off your life. Why don't you just, where you sit, why don't you lift your hands to heaven? I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Fantastic. So many hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For those that are online, this is for you too. But God, I just pray right now in this moment that you would break the power of fear. I thank you that you are the God that has us, that we are secure in you. And I just pray, God, for every foundational thought that fear has built itself on. I just pray, God, that you would demolish the power of that thought right now in Jesus' name. And God, we would have a revelation of your goodness, of your character instead, that you are the God that is for us, not against us, that you are the God that has us, is with us every step of the way. So I just pray, break the power of fear, and I just thank you that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith, that you would stir faith, that you would grow our faith instead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I know that others are here today and you haven't yet had the incredible opportunity to walk in a relationship with God that is based on faith, that is based on trusting him, that is based on walking personally with him. Like I said before, Jesus came and he died on a cross and then he rose again so that we could have that personal connection and personal relationship with him. We could come to him just as we are in our own vulnerability, and he walks with us. He is a personal God. He delivers us. He sets us free from the power of sin, from the power of our wrongs. He sets us free from fear. He is such a good God. But I know that there are those in this room today and you've never had the opportunity to pray that personal prayer which sets you in a right relationship with him, those joining us online as well. This is a prayer for you as well. But if you're here today and you want to pray that prayer that gets your life right with Jesus, starts a relationship with him, or maybe you need to recommit your relationship with Jesus, you need to rekindle that, start afresh, then this prayer is for you as well. So while every eye is closed and heads are bowed, if you're here today and you're saying, I want that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to know him as my God, then right where you're seated at home, where you are right now, why don't you lift your hands to heaven to say, that's me today. I know I need him. I know I need God to save me. I know I need his redemption. Fantastic. It's awesome. Come on, who else is there? You'd say, that's me today. I know. Fantastic. It's awesome. I know that I need God's power, his love to save me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For those that are online, just keep those hands going up as well. Come on, you repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for my wrongs, and I give myself to you. I want to know you. I want to know your love, your freedom, and your peace. I'm sorry for my past, and I want a new start in you. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Come on, why don't we give a hand to all those that made that decision.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.